It's been so long since I've done one of these things.
A podcast, period? Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, you were in the video with me last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we did that. That was the last thing I did. I haven't hosted anything since.
No, I've been on podcasts for a while now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a professional. I'm working with a professional
also, I am
now.
A professional. I've made money out of this now. I am a professional. I've sold merch and everything.
Yes. Oh, all right. Welcome, everyone, to a continuing episode. Hashtag follow the conversation. Episode 62.
What's up?
Because I just looked it up. We have not done one of these in... How old is your daughter?
2 years.
It's okay. Two years.
Well, she's three.
Has it been 3 years?
Yeah.
It's been 3 years since the hashtag.
That's 2019. So yeah, almost three years ago.
Is this our reunion tour?
I mean, I'm not saying we're not bringing back hashtag, hashtag follow the conversation.
Yeah, a work in progress.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how this goes.
It's more of a vibe, we'll feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like hashtag was our excuse to just talk about whatever, because we had something separate for video games, but it's transcended that and just gone back on itself.
We did we got rid of the video game show, started talking about video games.
Yes.
That's what we're doing here.
Yes, but...
Spoilers, I guess.
But I hashtag holds a special place in my heart.
It does, because... And it was weird, because it was an excuse for us to talk together, but we also talked anyway.
Yes.
It was just an excuse for us to get on the air and say whatever we wanted to, so maybe it was way more self-fulfilling than like anything, but like it's also the first show where like we did it basically the same time live every week.
Yeah.
And we had like international listeners that showed up every week would talk about Arrow.
We're not here to talk about Arrow.
Thank goodness.
My 2019 perspective on Arrow no one wants to hear.
If you happen to be listening and you don't remember what this is, we used to do a show called hashtag follow the conversation 3 years ago, I guess, and it lasted for about 2 years where we just kind of got up and talked about whatever we wanted to. It was like movies and TV, and then eventually we got rid of the game show and talked about games too.
It was an excuse for us just to chat and record ourselves.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a podcast that kind of got us into some, like, we got some chemistry.
Yeah.
We did a lot of good things, a lot of bad things.
I ate an MRE once.
We used to do it live, and if we would have like edited that show, I think it would have been a lot better.
You've said that. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's something to consider.
We're not
going to
edit this one, so that's
no.
for freaking sure. So
maybe. I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
We also used to do a big thing at the end of the year where we talk about the games we liked.
Yes.
And I realize that it's 2019 now, but it's still early.
Yeah. No, that's what we're here to do today.
Talk about video games.
Yes. Video games are their thing. You know, we've come a long way since Pac-Man.
And both of us love video games.
Yeah, we do.
On Whack Matters. I almost said thecultureofmypeople.com.
Whoa.
Which was the original name of this website when we started it. On Whack Matters.
I prefer Gamer Sauce.
Or Gamer Sauce.
That's a throwback for all of you.
The original podcast I ever did with Drewby was on Gamer Sauce.
Oh, man.
We're the people that like games the most. Like, my brother loves games. He's a gamer, too.
Yeah.
You know, we have other people. But, like, we're the guys that always cover games.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy I always talk to about games. Because most of my friends that even like games are, like...
They're not deep in this poop hole
that we are. So, we talk about games because we love games the most.
Yes.
And so, like...
The mostest.
So, I love to talk about the games. And that's what we're going to do. We have the list of games we played.
Mm-hmm.
We got some categories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be super official. And these games are going to get major boosts in subscribers and players because of our show.
Yes. You know, and I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart. I'm not expecting any kickbacks from any of these studios, you know, for
also,
helping them in their production.
We have to make it clear. I'm not rating these games. We're not rating them because that's a different show that I do with my brother called Life's What You Rate It. You should check it out.
Maybe.
We are not rating them, but we are talking about them. We're not even talking about a lot of negatives here. We're talking about pretty much good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how would you rate 2019?
How would I rate 2018?
2019.
How would I rate 2019 so far?
Yeah.
I don't want to give away any spoilers for my other show, but it seems all right so far, I guess. These 7 days that we've had in 20...
Yeah.
What did you say? 19.
2019.
It's not bad.
No. Okay, cool. We're a week in. Awesome. So... Kind of get this started off, and to kind of facilitate some of these discussions, we've kind of broken some of this up into different categories. Like, and these categories are more just ways for us to talk about some of the stuff that we did in from different perspectives.
Sure.
And so, to kind of kick things off, we should dive into probably one of the categories that I'm most looking forward to talking about. Right here at the top.
I love that we said that you're a gamer, and we're about to call you a freaking casual. Because the first category that you pulled up is
mobile games.
Best mobile game.
Best mobile games. And to clarify, this is games that you play on a cell phone.
I was going to try to pull up my cell phone, and it is the camera that we're using to record, so I cannot do that right now, but I guess I'll go and off
memory. We're not talking about, you know, your PSPs or your Game Boys. We're talking about Switch. Cell phone games. No,
these are just these are cell phone games or tablet games.
That's not a real game. Best mobile game. So, for a couple of games, we've got a couple that we both played. And so, just to list some of those off, this year I discovered probably one of my favorite mobile games of all time. Like, no joke. I discovered a game called Polytopia,
which is essentially like baby Civilization.
Yes, it is. I don't want to insult myself or this game, but it has dumbed down Civilization.
It's, well, I would call it just like simplified or like distilled Civilization. So
yes.
Civilization being the like 4X huge strategy game.
Yes.
Polytopia is, hey, you can play this on your phone. There's less turns. It's faster. It's simpler. It's boiled down to mostly combat. I think it's all combat, right?
Yes.
It's all combat.
But then you're building out your tech trees of your civilizations.
Most of the civilizations aren't as, like, unique as, like, Civilization.
Correct.
But,
What makes each civilization stand out is the technologies that they start with.
Yes.
And the your strategies for using them should have an effect on, like, what technology you start with. Okay, so I'm starting with, I'm not going to go and name the civilizations, but let's say there's a Japanese stereotype, which there totally is. But you start as them, and they start with the climbing, which means they can climb onto mountains, which you can reveal more terrain that way. And so then you might want to use that to scout more versus civilizations where I can pick food or grow farms first. And so you plan around that way. But there are a lot of civilizations in that game. I want to say that there are, I'm thinking off the top of my head, 12 to 16 civs.
So it's the mobile game. It's free. You start off with like 3 or 4 civilizations. So
there's 2 different versions. There is a free version. You get ads in it, though. I went ahead and paid, I think it was $2.99 or $3.99 for the ad-free version of the game because I don't like ads in my mobile games, so I can avoid it. I paid for that, and then it comes with 8 civs unlocked. And then there are civs after that you can unlock. Most of them are just 99 cents. Just unlock
Some of them are $3 each. Some of them are 99 cents. Yes. Are there any for $2? I don't remember.
There's some that are $2 or $3, but those are like the special ones, like the elves.
Yeah.
And
they actually have slightly different rules. Like one of the civilizations that I had was like mermen.
Yes.
So like you could ride on turtles and it was really oceanic based.
Yes. Their riding units are capable of just riding out on the water. So you don't have to necessarily research boats in order to get out on the ocean a little bit
and
more.
And the special civilizations have a little bit more like unique things that other civs can never do like that.
Yes.
Whereas most of the technologies can be researched by everyone.
Yes.
Those ones, the special extra money civilizations had stuff, but it never really felt gross to me. Like the payment. The only thing that maybe I had a little bit of beef with the monetization method was that it's impossible to get 3 stars, I think, unless you have like 8 civilizations.
Correct.
Unlocked.
Well, so let me run that number. I said there were 8 civilizations unlocked. There are 6, I believe, unlocked from the get-go.
I thought it was only like 4 or maybe 3.
Was it 4? I paid for so many at this point. I've almost got all of them paid for at this point.
I don't, because I bought a lot of them too. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I want to say it might only be 2 at the beginning.
4 sounds better now that you say it.
I don't remember. You can't play against 2 copies of the same civilization. So when you start the game, there's like Japanese, we'll say Japanese and elves. I don't remember what they are. You can't set up like a bunch of different elf guys to fight. So the reason that you cannot get 3 stars on a lot of these maps is you need enough civilizations to get enough points to be able to get the 3 stars.
All right, so I believe it is 4.
Okay.
That are unlocked at the beginning.
And you can't get 3 stars, it seems, probably, unless you have 8.
No, so total. There's 2 different game modes in this game. There is the perfection mode. All right, so you have 30 turns max. At the end of 30 turns, it ends, unless you die in the meantime. And it rates you and scores you at the end, and then based on that, you get 1-star, 2-star, 3-star ratings for your match. It is, as far as I can tell, impossible to get a full 3-star match, because in order to do that, it rates things like difficulty, so the difficulty you play, but even if you put it to the max difficulty, that's not going to work very well unless you have a ton of tribes that you're defeating and fighting against. And the only way to get those tribes is to pay for them. Now, that sure. I mean, for the perfectionists in some of us, you know, you can't do that without pain.
I mean, it's totally worth that we've went without. So, I mean,
but
I didn't even care about 3 stars and played the game for hours before it even mattered.
I tried to look up today how many hours I put into that game, and all I could find was I've played almost 250 matches of that game.
Nice.
Which each match is probably 45 minutes to an hour total, sure, of perfection, not to include all the other stuff, but like that's hours and hours and hours that I put into that game.
It's a very good game.
It is excellent. I really like it. Real quick, the second game mode, the perfection with 30 turns. The second game mode is unlimited turns. You go until you die or until you conquer everyone. I found myself playing the perfection because it's challenging and I'm trying to get through. I've got 3 stars in all the tribes. It's very fun. I've played it almost every day since I've gotten it. It has
multiplayer, but it's kind of sketchy. At least when we played it.
Yeah, so we played the multiplayer a couple months ago, and sometimes at work, it's kind of hit and miss.
It needs some work.
Yes. But hit if they miss, can nail that out and smooth that out. Nice.
I was referencing a meme. Okay. That, yeah, if they can smooth that out, would be really good.
And the other thing to note about this game is that they're working on making a Steam release.
I thought I saw that it came out.
I don't know. I had seen they were working on it.
Okay.
I don't know if it had actually come out yet.
I think that maybe if you're sitting at a PC, it might be a little bit too simple, but it is a wonderful toilet game.
Yeah, very good just to chill on your phone and go if you have 45 minutes to sit in the toilet.
It reminds me, I want to say that there was another game called, it was another Civilization-like game. It doesn't matter, I guess. But it was really, really, really simple, and it was about colors, and the colors would spread over the map, and you try to get the other ones. I can't remember what it's called. It has a very dumb name. This is better than that, mm-hmm, because it's just enough more depth, mm-hmm, without being too complicated. Because, also, I guess in 2018, you can just get regular Civilization on your phone, in your tablet now. Jeez. Like regular full-on Civilization.
It's like Civ 5?
But also, why would you... a lot of people, even the ones that like it, are like, well, it's kind of slow, and also... Usually when you're on your phone, you don't want to play a game that's that much.
A regular game of Civilization would take you hours to play through.
And also, it's just super complex. It's not a very good mobile game.
Yeah.
The thing about mobile games is they're nice digestible. They're nice to, like they can be longer, which, he mentioned that it's 45 minutes to an hour to complete a mode or whatever. You can stop it in the middle and play it.
Yeah.
Which I did a lot.
You save it, and you go off and you do something else. You come back to it and resume your game, and it picks up where you left off.
The thing about this game, Polytopia, is that it is not just a fun, good game, but it's also a good mobile game. It uses, mm-hmm, the platform. Yes. It's good for jump in, jump out, quick match.
That's what I think Rise makes it so much better than almost any other game I've played. For mobile games, at least, it's a game that was designed for the phone and utilizes it well. You can play it in two-handed mode. I always play it in one-handed mode.
It's 2017?
2016 release.
Okay.
So it's not, you can't really say it's like best game, but as far as for myself, the discovering it this year and playing through it, so good. It's so good. Highly recommend it to everybody who even is an interest in.
If it sounds interesting at all, you'll probably like it.
Yes, it's very good.
Speaking of games that are dumbed down versions of popular games, I'll bring up the game that I found this year that I liked mobile called Pocket City, which is essentially a simplified, distilled version of SimCity. It really is quite simple, but, mm-hmm, it takes time.
Yeah.
But I found it very engrossing. It was just like another mobile game where you sit there on the toilet. You can watch TV. It's a great watching TV and doing it in the background, because there's sometimes when you might be waiting on money to build up. Yeah. Like you'll build your city, you wait on some money to generate. Great TV game.
Great road trip game.
The downside for Pocket City is that if you max out everything, and it takes time. This is not a quick burn or whatever. Once you max out your map and you've built everything, yes, you can destroy things and build them to better perfection. But once you max out the map, a lot of the build is gone, because you have to just start deleting things or redoing it or imposing natural disasters on yourself just to add challenge.
The micromanagement of yourself and just building efficiency upon efficiency,
it's not as
the
good
magic
as just
you building. Lose the magic for yes. sure.
So for me, this game was really awesome. It took me hours and hours and hours to fully develop the entire map, maxing out everything, mm-hmm, built a highway everywhere, did a little bit of the destroying and making better, and then I was like, okay, I don't even want to and once you start a new game, it's hard to get back into it. So Polytopia has a longer burn, But Pocket City's very good until you get to that point. And then at that point, I felt like I was done and I was good. Yeah. No problems with it.
Yeah. I did not completely build out my city. I think I lost my save somehow. Or no, I got out of it after a road trip. No, I got out of it after, because I played most of it on a road trip. Got out of it after that and couldn't get myself to get back into it. Like, my time with it was awesome and I loved it.
Yeah.
I played a lot of it and I have it on my new phone. I've switched phones last year, and I've got on my new phone. I'd like to go back to it at some point, but weird. I could definitely, like, it's got that magic when you're building it, but when you finish building it, I could totally see how it'd just be like, oh, now what?
Maybe a weird downside for that game, it seemed like it was a battery drain in a weird way. Some games, like, yeah, feel like they drain your battery way harder than other games, and that was one of those
games. Gotta compute that city.
It's, yeah, man. I feel like, in a lot of ways, it is kind of like a clicker, and clickers seem to drain battery a lot, so yeah. That's something to note. I think Polytopia is better, though. When I was clicking on Pocket City, I was deep in it. Should I give a shout out to the mobile game that I've been playing the most at the end of 2018?
Go ahead.
It's called Solitaire. And it's about cards that you play by yourself. And it's like your normal, like, hearts, clubs, spades, diamonds. You lay them out on the table. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this game called Solitaire. It was invented in, I don't know, the 1300s probably.
Yeah.
I always love Solitaire.
King George.
Yeah, for some reason I play Solitaire. Solitaire is a good game that I can play while I listen to things and I'm engaged with the things and I don't want to pay attention, but I want something to do with my hands. I realize that I'm an old fart, but I love Solitaire.
Can I make a cry? A
last minute addiction?
No, a plea for mobile games in 2019.
Go ahead.
I want someone to make an awesome, quality, well-produced
Fortnite?
Tetris game.
Oh, Tetris. They probably exist.
I've looked. There's the EA owns the Tetris license right now, the official Tetris license.
So you can't tell me though that there's not some Android.
Oh yes,
Tetris.
Oh, there's totally a ton of that. There's so much of that, and I've looked at the one that I downloaded that people seem to like. It was, I don't know, it wasn't there for me as far as like just the production of the app itself. Like, I want a good quality, like, not necessarily a Tetris effect, just a quality Tetris machine.
I'll give a shout out also, like, There's a bunch of games, and, like, listen, the Android market and the Apple App Store are flooded with some crap, but there's a couple good P-Cross games. There was a painting P-Cross game my wife played for a long time, and if that's
P-Cross,
something like that.
That was so good. I put so many hours into
that.
That
was actually
thing.
One of the good ones, because I play a lot of bad P-Cross games, too. P-Cross is good. Give a shout out to P-Cross in 2018. So I think game we're going to write for best mobile game in 2018, technically Pocket City would have to win, but I think we should write Polytopia.
I think that's what we should. It's our list. Yes.
We can do whatever the frick we want to do.
Yes, I totally.
So write it down.
Hungry Cat Picross.
Okay, yes. Hungry Cat Picross. If you're looking for that, if you like things like Sudoku, but easier, but also harder, because that game gets very hard.
Yes, but that game, I was so mad when I lost all my progress on my, eventually when I think I wiped my phone or I lost some, I had almost all of like the paints for like all the years. Like, I was going back through all, I put a ton into that game.
Nice.
Super good. I'm going to download.
Wait, did you beat Subnautica?
Define beat.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Sorry.
Spoilers. We'll get there.
Best story is our next category. I'm going to go ahead and jump out of this mobile games.
Yeah.
So spoilers. Should we do spoilers or no? I like to talk about spoilers.
I think it's important for the discussion of the game.
Spoilers for these games, if you haven't played them, I want to talk about the stories for some of these games because they're really fun.
Yes. Most of the stuff I have been spoiled on already. So,
are you going to talk about Sea of Thieves' story?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll dive deep into that.
Explain it to me because I didn't think there anything in that game. Oh, sorry.
All right. Spoilers.
So what are some things you want to talk about in story?
All right. We'll take Destiny 2. Let me start there.
Okay.
Let me just
start from the bottom.
Yes, kind of.
The whole team's here.
So Destiny 2 Forsaken is a game that I kind of prepared myself for in, like,
we're talking about the DLC.
Yes. Destiny 2 Forsaken is the expansion pack for Destiny 2. Came out last year. That was a game where it's like, we're gonna tell a real story here. Like, things are gonna get like heavy, almost like someone dies. And
it's the Michael J. Fox. It's heavy.
Yeah. They kind of foreshadowed that, and everyone knew from the beginning that who was gonna die.
It wasn't like, foreshadowed. I thought it was just in the trailer.
Kind of. It's on the cover of the game.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's not a support. Like, he dies in the first, very first mission.
Yeah.
Of the robot buddy, Cade 6, Nathan Fillion's character.
Nathan Fillion dies. Not the character Nathan Fillion.
That story, it was an attempt for them. They were trying to get somber, which I think was kind of the complete opposite of the happy-go-lucky, what they were trying to do with Destiny 2. Which, it, that story even wasn't happy-go-lucky, but there were so many bad jokes in that game that it made, it was completely, like, off-tonally.
This is going to be a long discussion. Are you about to say that it's good?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. I'm not
trying to just, like, shut you down, but I also, I am not wanting to talk about the Destiny story that much because it's kind of always sucked.
Yes.
As someone that really, really, really wanted to care about the Destiny story, yes. It kind of sucks. Yes.
Well, as someone who, like, I am the biggest sci-fi person here, and it sucks. Yeah, like, it's not amazing stuff that they're doing here.
It's extremely simple and also told poorly.
It's told very poorly. And
which is worse than the fact that it's simple.
And it's overall maybe disappointing, but there's just not that. That's kind of one of the pushes with that Forsaken thing, it seemed, from the get-go.
It does,
was like,
yeah.
Yes, we're changing a bunch of the endgame stuff, but hey, there's this huge story that, like,
base Destiny 2 focus on story and have more cutscenes and stuff, too,
yes,
as well.
Yes, and it told a story that still sucked. And so, anyway.
I'm so disappointed.
Anyway. So, just get that off here.
So, story,
yeah, I can't recommend it for story. Yeah. Gameplay stuff, it does some cool stuff, but as far as story, that's not great.
Okay.
The last story I will talk about, and then, you know what? Choose one of these things off this list.
Okay. I'll talk about my, are we talking about games that, we have to talk about games we beat for story, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So I guess I'll talk about God of War, which, so 2018.
Are you going to start off with like the big one?
Well, what else am I supposed to start with? Let's see.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's also big for me though.
Okay.
I'll talk about Celeste because you never played that.
Okay. Yeah.
So Celeste is a platformer, which typically doesn't have story, mm-hmm. but it has a story. It's essentially about a girl overcoming her.
She cry a river and drown the whole world.
Son of a gun. She looks so bad in photographs, but I absolutely love it when she smiles, which is actually a plot point in the game. Now that I think about it, this whole thing about her smiling in pictures. Anyway, crap on Celeste is an awesome platformer. I'll skip over that for now. We'll talk about it later. But Celeste's story is essentially a story about overcoming mental illness, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit corny, but not too corny. It didn't turn me off. It's not my favorite story, sure. but also it was better than I thought it would be. It could have been even more ham-fisted than it was.
Okay.
Thought it was pretty good. You essentially, like, it manifests itself like the parts of you that you hate are a bad guy that you're running from. It's a metaphor. But then at the end, you realize that, like, that's still part of you. And so you have to be friends sure. with it. And so you co-op with your dark self. It's kind of corny. It comes across even cornier when I say it than it does in the game.
Yeah.
But it could have been worse. And it, since it, like, manifests in the gameplay, it's mm-hmm. kind of cool. I like when game mechanics and story mesh, because yeah. that's something that can't happen in movies or
no.
anything else really.
And when it works well, like, it's powerful.
And it does. It works well. Like I said, this is a message that I think is corny and normally would not resonate with me, but it was done so well that it worked okay. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
Celeste.
Cool. I'm gonna take on Far Cry 5.
Okay.
Which is a game some would say is almost all story. Far Cry 5 is the fifth game of the
Far
Cry
series. Is it all story? I thought it was just all, like,
so
shooting Far Cry 5 racists or something.
Far Cry 5 is a story where you play a sheriff's deputy, and the opening cutscene in the game is you and the sheriff, a U.S. Marshal has basically showed up in your in Hope County, Montana, which is this place in the middle of nowhere, and he basically, you are going to take down the leader of this cult, Joseph Seed. And you, from the very beginning, you try to arrest him, and it goes wrong.
It's not even a stand-in for, like, a real-life cult. That, like with a name like Joseph Seed, you might think, like, Mormons, but aren't they just, like, a death cult or something? Like,
so they're a prepper cult.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they are Mormons. There's definitely a lot of... There's definitely a lot of like religious tones in that game. Like they're singing Amazing Grace. That their music in that game for the cult is some of the like kind of authentic CCM cover stuff that I've heard. Isn't it weird?
Like, I mean, it's almost like Bioshock Infinity.
Kind of in some ways, yes.
Like super patriotic, but also creepy and weird.
But not even patriotic. Like, oh, okay. Definitely, like, the good guys, the good preppers,
yeah.
Well, but are, like, patriotic, and they're, like, there's a totally a scene in this...
Like, Bioshock, where it's super patriotic, because Bioshock is all about, like, they're literally worshipping the Founding Fathers.
Yes, it's not that.
Okay.
It is that if you talk about, like, yeah, we're conservatives, and, like, yeah, we got our guns, and as we save a bunch of people, and they're walking across this bridge, I'm sitting there waving an American flag.
Yeah, dude, heck yeah.
Or waving, just holding the flag. Anyway... So it goes wrong. You then have to take down the leader. There's three, you could call them like lieutenants of this cult. And they have each are like a captain of their regions. And so you go through and you do missions. And there's a lot of like, there's some interesting, like, maybe there's some stories, some side stories, like with the lieutenants as they're all trying to convert you to their cult. And they are trying, and then like with some of the side characters, and you learn some of their stories. And
don't the lieutenants have like their own powers or something?
So, the first one that I took down when I played through the game, his name is John, and he makes promotional videos and commercials about the power of yes.
Okay, like John, and he puts like Daniel Bryan,
and he totally puts up a giant billboard like Hollywood sign in the mountains which just says yes.
Okay.
And he makes like these literal TV commercials about like baptizing people.
And saying
stuff like yes.
Yes. Okay. So is he Joel Osteen?
Maybe.
Thank you. Oh, crap.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thanks.
We just got interrupted with delicious snacks if you're listening to the audio version. They're Orange Julii.
Oh, man. That's good.
Thanks, babe.
So you're taking down this. So you're taking. He sees the power of yes.
It's going to get real hot in here, isn't it? I'm already sweaty.
Yeah, it's kind of going to. Real steamy. Mm. The second cult member that I took down, her name is Faith. She has the power of drugs on her side.
Amen. America.
And she gets people into like these stupors, like they're extremely high and they're seeing things, and they're a lot more susceptible to the things that she wants them to do. It's called The Bliss.
Okay, that's a good name.
And so like a lot, there's an interesting gameplay mechanic with that where you're basically running through the world and all these things that you think are actually happening aren't happening because of the effect of the drugs in that region.
As I understand it, that's actually something that Far Cry has dipped into for the last couple games. We just haven't played those.
Okay. Yeah. No, I should also say that this is my, of the new like model of Far Cry games since 3, this is the first one I've played. And so there's and I'll also say that a lot of people who've played all the games don't like this one. But we'll get there in a second. And then the last guy, his name is Joseph. I can't remember the last guy's name. Anyway, he's like the super prepper, like, we're preparing for the end of the world. I was a former army ranger type of personality, like, here are my guns, and we're, like, training these animals to hunt for us, like, super gung-ho military stuff. And so, like, you take down these guys, and the whole story goes with, you're basically, they're the good preppers in the cult who is, like, preparing for the end of the world. And then, like... all throughout the game, they're talking about, you know, like, the world is going to pot. Like, this place sucks. Like, you've seen the news. You watch the same news that I do. Everything sucks. Like, this world is not getting any better. And it builds and it builds and it builds.
This world is not my
home. And you get to the very end, and it's got an interesting mechanic where you have to make some choices about people you save and stuff like that. And then you capture the guy... but then the world literally goes to pot because the governments of all the worlds have launched nukes to blow up everybody. And you and this cult member that you've just captured are basically, you are taking him with you for some reason to a prepper like hold where you start the beginning of the game. And like, it's nuclear apocalypse outside. And as far as you know, you two are the only ones who survive. And that's the end of the game right there.
So that was spoiled if you saw the trailer for the new mm-hmm. Far Cry. They actually say that.
Yes. And so it's so a very...
Were the preppers right?
So go. I'm replaying the game right now with my brother, and I'd heard this reference a little bit, because when that ending happened, I was literally like, what the crap? Like, what a weird, abrupt, seemingly out of, like, complete left field ending.
Mm-hmm.
But all the way through, if you listen to the radio in the game, it's all about, like, how the governments are, like, starting to get a little antsy, and, mm-hmm. like, there's some, like, background lead up to it. So it's not completely out of the blue.
Do you think the game is trying to imply that the cult preppers were right?
I mean, all the preppers were right. But definitely, the cult preppers for sure were right. It's not even necessarily implied. Like, they were actually right.
That seems
like
a bold choice, considering that people hate this game because the cult preppers weren't bad enough.
Yeah. It was...
So that the fact that they turn out actually right would actually tick some people off, I think.
Yeah, they kind of were right in the end. Definitely their means of, like, arming all their cult members, going around kidnapping people and murdering them if they didn't repent and come join their cult.
It actually does sound like a religion I know of.
So, it's just a weird game. The story is meh. The game, where it shines, is in its co-op multiplayer. When you get to screw around in this world with a friend or brother, in my case, I'm playing with my younger brother right now.
It's what about sister?
So, no, she wouldn't care.
Mm. What about different sister?
If her sister cared...
For a sister from another mister.
Maybe, actually.
Okay.
But the multiplayer in that game is where that game shines.
So you beat this game single player, you're yes. just not playing it multiplayer for the first
and now,
time.
And now I'm playing it multiplayer.
Did you not like it that much on single player? Or what?
No, I liked it a lot.
You seemed to like it.
I did like it. Okay. And a lot of the reasons I liked it were because it was my first. I had not played another Far Cry game, so I didn't have the context of all the other ones, except in passing of, like, watching other people play this stuff. So, having played, like, an open-world shooter like Far Cry, yeah, it was fun. On my second playthrough, now, it's like, oh, there's totally ways that this game could totally be better. Like, in its story, and in some of its background with its characters and stuff like that. But, because a lot of the stuff kind of falls flat with some of the hard, like, they want to hit home with some of these characters. And while for some people it might hit, and for me it did a little bit the first through, mm-hmm. it wasn't, like, a moment where it's like, oh, so right as, in the feels.
As a story, you think it kind of feels disjointed and the ending felt completely weird at first.
Yes.
So are you nominating it to not be?
I don't best think story? It should win this. Definitely, I don't think this. It's the best story for this, okay. like this category. I'm bringing it up because it that game, one, that kind of one of the main things about that game mm-hmm. is its story. And well, it does drop the ball, but where it shines, and we might get to another categories, is its multiplayer. That's where people should play it.
Okay. I'm just looking at my list. I guess I'll talk about Spider-Man. Spider-Man, God of War, I like both of them. Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man. We'll talk about this game probably multiple times yes. throughout the discussion, but, like, talking about the story aside, or alone, sorry. Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. I've read the most Spider-Man comics probably. Well, I've read a lot of Captain America too, but I've read a lot of Spider-Man comics.
Between you and me, definitely.
I love the old. I grew up on the Sam Raimi movies.
Yeah.
I will say.
Gotta put that skin in there.
I do not like the Amazing Spider-Man, especially that second one is maybe one of the hottest trashes I've seen in recent years. But I am a huge Spider-Man fan. I love Spider-Man. Of course, he's the guy that would appeal to me. He's the freaking dork who. Is a nerd who likes to save people, but he's the everyman. Like, I love Spider-Man. He's super relatable to me.
Yeah.
I called you while I was watching the credits for this game and was like, is this what people felt like when they played Batman? Because I feel like this Spider-Man game was so true in telling an original Spider-Man story, still too true to the character of Peter Parker mm-hmm. and the Spider-Man universe, and the fact that Spider-Man just tries so hard and gets screwed all the time. Excuse me. Wow. Jeez. Sorry, this is a hashtag. I have to...
you know, let it
we
out.
Can be a little more crude. So,
literally.
So, so, like, I love the story in this game. I, mm-hmm. It's not like... it's not like every part of it was like super, super original. Like, no. We're talking about the origins of Doc Ock.
You can't take a comic book like this
and
make it a super original.
Spider-Man, arguably like the second or third most popular superhero of all time.
We're in well-worn territory here.
But also, we don't do the normal tropes. We don't see the origin story. We don't hear about Uncle Ben very much at all. Like, we see some original stuff. We see some stuff referenced. I love the fact that they reference a lot of the old comic stuff, because I've been reading through a lot of the old comic stuff when I was playing the game, and they reference a lot of like freaking stuff from the 60s and 70s, which was really cool to me and as a Spider-Man fan. So we talk about the origin of Dr. Octopus, which I thought was handled really well.
They talk about
like getting you to think that Osborn is a smarmy turd, which he is, but they don't like dive too deep into it. They have that new character, which I thought they made it for the game, but I heard somebody else say that he wasn't.
I heard someone say he was. I'm pretty sure he was. I have to double check that.
Dr. Negative? Mr. Negative?
Mr. Negative.
He's not that good. But thankful, and like, so here's the thing. Once I was playing this game.
He's more of a plot device.
And I thought he was the main villain of the game. Yeah. And I thought that they were going to save the Dr. Octopus reveal for later on in the game. And I thought, as I was getting close to wrapping up on defeating, what's his name? Mr. Negative, that I was about done with the game. And then there's a giant prison break and the game like explodes into like, so like the cool thing about this game is like, it's an open world game where you swing, but like, as you move the story forward, it changes everything. When there's the prison break scene and freaking everything in New York goes to pot, awesome moment. And then you get to take down the Sinister Six, which was weird because, like, Dr. Octopus wasn't made. It's so weird because, like, he's a main part of the Sinister Six. Whatever. I don't want to get comic booky here. But, like, I was glad that I got to. I was a little bit sad when I thought the game was almost over, realizing I would only get to fight one main villain. And, like, I'd already seen other villains. Well, I guess you fight a. You fight Kingpin at the beginning.
Yes.
Then you fight Shocker.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Shocker.
And then I was like, I kind of wish I would have gotten to fight some other people. But you end up getting to fight, like,
all the staple Spider-Man.
Yeah. You fight Shocker again. Rhino.
Vulture.
Vulture.
Scorpion.
Six of them. Scorpion. I don't remember. You get to fight a bunch of people. Basically everybody but Goblin, as far as the main villains go.
What's the Firefly? Human Torch?
I don't know.
Anyway.
The story, it doesn't do a lot of new stuff, with the exception of they just make, spoilers, I guess, they make the decision to kill Aunt May, which kind of surprised me.
That was a bold move.
They made the decision to, I thought the Mary Jane and Peter Parker stuff was cool, how they kind of handled that relationship. Yeah. They introduced baby Spider-Man with Miles. I don't know. It resonated with me a lot. I thought it was handled really well. I don't know if it'll win this category necessarily for me, because it's hard for me to try to distinguish. And maybe since we both like it, it will win the category. I don't know what you're going to present as like the winner, but like, I loved it. It felt good. It felt right. The way they handle the octopus ending, where Peter Parker has to basically say screw you to Dr. Octopus, even though they were best friends. The way they kill Aunt May. The way they introduce Miles at the very end. The way they tease that the next game is definitely going to be about the Osborns. I just freaking loved it. And as a Spider-Man fan, I definitely can't see it objectively, because I freaking love the way that they just handled it so well as a Spider-Man fan.
I'm not as big a Spider-Man fan as you, though I definitely like him. I've definitely not read the comic book, so a lot of that stuff didn't hit for me in the same way. But even that aside, the story itself was, I really enjoyed the stuff that they did with Aunt May. Peter Parker, you know, a lot of stuff what they do with heroes, especially now, is they like to make either anti-heroes or, like, dark heroes. Like, oh, man, here's your hero, but, oh, he's got the secret dark past or whatever like that. Peter Parker is just a genuinely good dude.
I want, like, and that's a great point, is for a long time we had the dark anti-hero become the big thing. And
in some ways it still is.
I've always loved a good hero. And like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, 2018 sucked, we need more positivity. I think that is a stupid, stupid, stupid argument. You can listen to me make jokes about that on the last episode of I almost called it hashtag. Life's what you rate it.
Life's what you rate it.
I think that 2018 was fine, and I think that the years before it have been fine. I'm not thinking the world's ending, whatever. But also, that being said, even though I don't think everything sucked, I think we need more media that's just happy and positive in general, because we counterbalance so hard in the anti-hero dark story direction. Mm-hmm. It became a joke that everything's going to get a dark, gritty reboot. Mm-hmm. That it's nice to see. And the game is dark. Like,
yeah, there's bad some crap. Stuff
People
happens.
Die. And, like, there's a plague that almost kills everyone. Yeah. There's a dude. Like, everyone get, like, Mr. Negative's story is a tragic backstory.
Bad stuff happens to Peter in the game.
Bad, like, stuff happens to Peter.
He deals with some rough stuff.
But he just is a good dude who's trying to do good stuff.
He's trying to do the right thing.
And, like, even when bad crap happens, like, that's the thing about Peter Parker, is he's kind of, like, just undeniably always trying to do the right thing.
He's a Boy Scout.
And, like, it freaking, I love it. Like, that's, you can always identify with him because he's not making a choice that you, like, oh, I can't believe he did that. He's always like, oh, I love that he made the right choice, even though his life sucks, but.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. It's the whole thing that they do with, like, Captain America and stuff like that in the Marvel movies, is where he's just, like, a
Yes. The best part about Captain America from the Marvel movies is a great,
One of the best things about the Marvel movies in general is Captain America, and he's just a genuinely good dude, and he does the right
thing. It's nice to have a superhero who just does the right thing.
Yeah, it's not like, oh man, I've got to go break into this. Like, it, no, he's a good dude who does the right thing. So that was a really nice thing about, like, Spider-Man and stuff.
Get a Venom tease out of the game?
I did not.
I didn't. I heard some people saying at the end that there was, so there's a scene during the Stinger, maybe the second Stinger. I can't remember.
I think it's the second Stinger.
There's a scene where Harry Osborn, who's been in a tank, but you didn't know it, is in a test tube tank.
Yeah.
People were hinting that he might be Venom.
Yes.
I was just getting that he was getting the super serum.
I totally took that as, like, a Green Goblin. Like, he's like,
yeah,
but we're going to give him some serum that's going to make him crazy.
They might tease Venom. I don't know.
Was Harry Osborn Green Goblin, or was he some other name?
He's a Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin. Because I know Norman Osborn was Green Goblin.
Yes. And then Harry becomes the Hobgoblin.
Okay. So, yeah. But no, totally what you said. The story in that game is just, I think it's got some weak spots, definitely. But
here's the thing, like, so, and this is maybe weird, and maybe it's because I am a huge Spider-Man fan. People talked about parts of that story dragging, and I felt like I mainlined the story, but when I finished the game, I'd still done almost 100% of the side content. There's very little side content I hadn't done. So I just never felt it, but I acknowledge that maybe that was just me being in my fandom circle. Sure. So, like, I really don't feel like the story dragged at all. I really don't feel like the missions, like, there were some of the missions that I thought I was going to get annoyed with playing.
Yes.
And I didn't do them. Like, some of them I did right away because they're super fun. Some of them I did less right away. But at the end, I still beat the game and almost did all of them and didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just me. And I get that. That's fine.
Sure. No, I beat a lot of it, and I've started going back through and just playing through. And
I'm thinking about getting the DLC and getting back into it just for an excuse.
I've thought about that. People have said the DLC is not very good.
Yeah. But the things that I've seen most commonly about the DLC is, it's nothing that crazy. It's pretty much just a bunch of other side missions. But honestly, another reason to swing around the city is okay for me.
We haven't gotten there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about swinging at some point. But yeah.
Best story, I think, is in the consideration of the games that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think so too.
What do you want to talk about? Black Ops 4?
I was going to make a joke about that. Man, I wish that game had real quick, that's not the game I was going to talk about, but Black Ops 4 is a game that I enjoy the Call of Duty campaigns, like the cinematic, Hollywood, action, blockbuster, all the terms that you want to throw at
to
it.
To some degree, I also do.
I really enjoyed those.
You've played more of them than me.
Yes,
but...
and I want to spend what, the 60, 40 bucks, 30 bucks, whatever it is, to get the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, the space one, just so I can play the campaign.
As someone that doesn't really like competitive multiplayer games, I still was buying those games just because the campaigns were so fun.
Yeah.
And I legitimately think that the first Black Ops campaign is one of my favorite shooter campaigns.
Yeah, it might be. But, yeah, so for Black Ops 4...
But there's not one.
They basically, like, pull the story out and is like, hey, there's gonna be some story in some of this other stuff,
I think, and they it's, were like, not there. I think they were making it, and they're like, oh, crap, the story's not done, and we need to ship this game now.
Yeah, so there's no story in there.
Disappointing. We might talk about it again in a little bit.
Yeah, but the story that I did want to bring up, Hitman 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought Hitman 2 over the Christmas break and played and beat it in about a week, week and a half. I still want to go back and play that. We will talk about that game some more later. For now on the story, I consumed Hitman 1 mostly through watching internet videos, but I have, and so that's how I consumed the story of that game. I played you some also of it. I played it and beat it on my own, but the story in Hitman 1 was definitely, it had a Destiny 1 feel to it.
Okay.
Where it was just kind of here and there and kind of, it felt disjointed because they were like hinting at stuff, but never really explaining anything. And like, you don't have to explain everything, but they weren't giving you enough to go off of.
Historically, I don't think the story has ever been that big of a deal in Hitman.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But that was Hitman 1. Hitman 2, though, comes back around in the sequel and delivers a very intriguing story.
So give me the Cliff's Notes, because I know zero about it.
So, of like anything, Hitman 2 period?
Yeah.
So, Hitman 1, like, it starts off with you, like, beginning work with the ICA, who is, like, this international, literally, like, hitman agency. Like, we, clients hire us to take out people. And so the entire game of Hitman 1, you're hinted at this guy in the background who's always, like, showing up here and there and talking to people, but you don't really know anything about him. And it's implied that he knows who you are, because that's a big point of the Hitman story.
Is he in the game?
No.
Okay. He's in cutscenes. It's not like G-Man.
He's in cut. No, he's in cutscenes.
I would really love it if it was like a G-Man thing from Half-Life.
Right. No, it's implied that he knows. He says that he knows who you are. I think maybe he talks to you at one point, but that's it. And then at the very end of that game, you talk to the shady dude who's like the evil shadow organization, like that you're kind of not the rival ICA, because you're not supposed to have rivals because you don't pick sides.
Okay.
But, and it ends with basically saying, like, I know who Hitman, who Agent 47 is, and he leaves a picture of like Kid 47.
Does Agent 47 not know who
he is? No, he has no clue what has happened. Hitman 2 starts, and basically you're doing some work for taking down this agency, but then as you progress through the story, the guy shows up again with like actual dialogue, and it explains, like, okay, like, turns out, like, you find out that this other dude was like actually part of the same program that you were. You were both kids in this orphanage in like Eastern Europe who were trained by
Spartan 116.
What?
Are they Spartans?
No, they're not Spartans. Okay. But they were like trained child assassin soldiers to like kill people. And he was Subject 6 and you were Subject 47.
Sure.
You all had barcodes on the backs of your heads. And the story was incredibly intriguing to the point where Agent 47 basically is like, someone knows who I am. Like, we've got to go. And he convinces his handler, who's like kind of his only friend in this world, to like, we need to like turn on our company in a way that, like, not like turn on them, but like, we have to go off the grid because they're not going to let us do what we want to do. And I need to figure this out.
So he goes rogue.
It's kind of. And you join forces with this other dude. Turns out you were, again, you find out you were subjects of this whole kid. And then also through the story, you learn, you get a little backstory of the handler as well, who's kind of a main figure, but like not the main person of the entire game.
Is it a lady?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a British lady.
She's the lady that talks.
And you find out, like, she's the way she is because, like, her parents were murdered by a giant drug corporation to, like, cover up, like, a lawsuit that they were going to put out and expose the company on. So she's, like, the only surviving member of her family. So she's like, no, I take down big, bad people like this. Like, that's my job because of this thing that happened in her life.
I think I remember the end of this game.
And the game basically goes, and you have to take the only guy who knows who you are. You basically go to his house and murder him, and to get to this other dude who actually is like the key player behind, like, he's the ruler of this evil corporation that you're fighting. Not corporation, like a shadow agency that doesn't exist. And the game ends with you taking him in. And then the guy's like, are you sure he's telling the lady, he's like, are you sure you know who you're working with? You can't trust anybody. And then the final cutscene is that Agent 47 was the hitman hired by this company to kill her parents. And then the game just ends there. And so the way it's cut is that she doesn't know that he's the one who did it, but that's a reveal to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with you now teamed up with Subject 6 to go take down these people that are going to come to take the leader, the bad guy. Like, it kind of ends there. But it's all super shady, like, secret agency versus secret agency, like, very much
Tom Clancy story.
Illuminati type stuff. That is very interesting. And I found myself towards the end, like, that game is, one of the reasons to play that game is to do the hilarity of the Hitman stuff, like the assassinations. You wear a flamingo suit and throw scissors into a person, like, if you want, like, just dumb stuff.
Why did you say hilarity? That's what? Just real life.
Okay,
maybe. Have you ever been watching an action movie where a guy was wearing a flamingo shirt and he threw scissors that curved around a corner and murked a fool?
No, I haven't seen John Wick 3 yet. but that stuff, like, they actually made an interesting story that out of what they were going, and it's definitely, like, open, like, not in, like, a cheap way, but, like, no, there's more here that we're going to tell in the next game, and that's, I hope, cool. They can make the next game. And it was, while it's not necessarily, like, groundbreaking or anything like that,
I think it's the first time I've ever heard someone care about Hitman story.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, it's just it was very interesting and fun to do in a game that didn't seem to be about that at all. And so in a little bit, it was a pleasant surprise, even though I kind of knew it had a better story than the first one going into it. And I was like, no, I'm totally, like, on board with this thing. And the last two missions, I didn't even do all the things, 'cause I was, like, playing through to figure out what happened. So I would totally, like, I don't know if I'd put it up here with, like, Spider-Man or, like, even God of War for, like, best story, but it's totally something, at least of the games that we played, or I played, of us, like, this was, like, an interesting story in 2018.
Okay.
So cool. I'd totally put that up there.
Last thing I will talk about will be God of War. For me, it comes down to God of War and Spider-Man. Yeah. So if you're going to pick... do you have anything else you want to talk about first?
No, I think we need to talk about God of War.
Okay, so, like, God of War is weird because I never played the old games. So, you know, briefly, we have our... you know, as Christians, we have our own things that some games we'll play, some games we won't play, mm-hmm. depending on whatever stuff for us. So I never played the old God of War games for being what they were. Which is just very angry and sometimes horny and very angry and very angry, mostly very angry and very violent. And so you
and very angry
and very angry, also very angry. So one of the things that was weird about this game was the trailers made it seem like it was a very different tone. I see that. I don't know who that is. I'm getting a phone call while we're recording this.
Cool.
So the weird thing was, we were playing, I was seeing the trailer for this God of War game, and I was like, what the heck is this God of War game? Because it's not angry enough.
Right.
And he was, like, clearly angry, but instead of being yelly and ragey, Kratos yells the whole first three games. I had to, like, look up a backstory. Essentially, he kills a lot of people. He kills the entire Greek pantheon. He gets turned his back
on. Is he very angry?
He's very angry about everything. He kills everybody. He kills himself at the end of the game, which I guess I don't understand.
So all I know about that game is basically that, like, the gods, like, fooled him into killing his own family. And true. Then the entire impetus of the next three games was him murdering them in revenge for that one incident.
True. And there's other incidents where the gods screw him over, but essentially the gods suck and he murders them all.
Yes. Okay. That's the important things about the original trilogy.
Yep.
God suck, and he kills them all.
And also, I think he killed himself, but I guess it didn't work. So, the game starts, you're dad, and you have a son.
Congratulations.
And your wife has died.
Oh,
and
that sucks.
The boy's mom has died. And so, he's a bad dad, because he's a little angry. But he's not like, yelling angry, he's just, like, brooding. I don't want to talk a lot.
Alcoholic dad. Because my wife just
died. Yeah, basically, yes. He doesn't beat him. But yes, he's a jerk. He's not very encouraging. He's not very loving.
Everything that you believe in a father.
Sure. So, like, I don't know. The impetus of the game is that it starts out so slow, but it's so cool because it works. But, like, the first 2 hours of that game are quite slow. They change the combat to be less Devil May Cry and more Dark Souls-y, but not as, like... When you say Dark heavy. Souls, it controls like Dark Souls. It's heavy, but not like as punishing as Dark Souls by any means.
Okay, so it's more
Dark Souls is rough.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's slower, it's more methodical, but it's not like as punishing on normal difficulty, which is what I played it on.
Does it teach you to play it in the same way as Dark Souls?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't demand nearly as much. There's a really cool mechanic where you can throw an axe and pull it back. We'll talk about this later. But, like, the main thing about the story is your kid, you're a distant father, you were never around, your mom died. The whole story is you need to bring your mom's, or the boy's mom's, their wife's ashes to the top of the tallest mountain in the Nine Realms. So
why?
You are no longer, that was her last request. So
okay.
You are you are clearly the Kratos that used to be in Greece, and now you are Kratos in Midgard.
Yes.
They don't really explain it, but like essentially, clearly, he's tried to leave his old life behind and he's here. The boy doesn't know anything about your past. It's not clear whether the mom did, but basically you spend the beginning of the game burning your mom and gathering her ashes. Her last request was that you spread her ashes over the highest peak in the Nine Realms. There's a lot of Thor crossover here from like Thor, the movies, Marvel movies.
Asgardian
stuff. But also, so I won't get there, I guess. So basically you're doing this whole thing. You're trying to do whatever. You're like, okay, we're going to start the journey up the mountain tomorrow. The game, and this is like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's pretty slow. You're just fighting a couple monsters. The game starts picking up when you decide that you're going to hang out in your house and get some stuff ready to go on a journey. And some drunk sounding dude starts knocking on your door. And you're like, stay in here, boy. And you open up this door. This dude clearly knows who you are. He knows you're a god. And he is there to kill you and your son. You don't know who this guy is at all. You have zero ideas. He's this skinny looking drunk dude who's just talking crap. And your guy's like, who the heck are you? You don't want to mess with me.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I forgot to mention, even though Kratos doesn't tell his kid he's a god, that doesn't mean he doesn't do god-like stuff. Because there's a point where there's a giant tree in your way, and he's like, I gotta gather some wood, and he picks up the tree with his bare hand and carries a tree, like a full-on tree.
That's good.
So,
that's
good. So, like, this guy's at the door, and he's, like, picking on you, and you're like, dude, don't take me off. Like, I'm gonna mess you up. And the guy's like, whatever, you know, try not to hurt me, whatever. So Kratos freaking decks this dude. It sends him reeling. And Kratos is kind of like, that would have killed anybody. What's wrong with this guy? And this guy gets up. He's like, well, at least I can feel something. And then you basically start a Dragon Ball Z anime battle where you're just kind of fist fighting.
Awesome.
And like punching each other through mountains and over building, like it's like, no kidding, Dragon Ball Z, where like this game that was this super slow methodical dad thing, you're just punching each other, and then like he starts like using like ice powers, and you're like, heck darn it, and like, you pull out your axe, and like you're axing this dude, and he is not hurt at all. Like, he's not being phased at all, so it's just insane. And then at some point, like, you break his neck. And he stops moving, and you're like, all right. And you go back, and the boy's like, what? And you're like, nothing, boy. So, like, the joke about the game and the thing that came out is, like, his son's name is Atreus. He almost always just says, boy. Like, this is the meme.
That's the joke about the game.
Boy. And he, like, anytime he wants him to do something, he just says, boy. He says, boy, read it, whatever. So, you're like, what the crap? Like, the whole, and like, I love stories where they just throw you right in the middle and you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Well, I guess it turns out that, like, they know you're a god, but you have zero idea. Like, the whole thing is, Kratos is like, I'm done being a god.
Yeah.
I think the gods suck. They just screw people over. They use their power to manipulate regular people, and they suck. I just want to go live a normal life. All of a sudden, this dude comes out and attacks me. I have no idea who he was.
Right.
I don't know what he wants. Yeah. I don't want to get involved. Let's just go do this ash thing. So you go up the ashes, and it's a story where you eventually meet a witch who you find out is another god. It turns out a bunch of people are gods. Of course, since this kid's your son, it turns out he's a god.
Sure.
It turns, like, there's a whole thing where, of course, over the arc of the story, Atreus, that Kratos becomes a better dad and opens up to Atreus, and it's handled very well. It's cliche, yes. I thought it was handled well. You meet up with the witch, who you find out is Freya, the Norse god Freya. And you find, there's a whole bunch of, basically you find out there's a bunch of these gods that are related.
Sure.
Kind of like Greece, some of them are related. There's fathers, sons, daughters, whatever. It turns out that the mountain you were trying to climb in Midgard wasn't the highest mountain. So you, like, most of the game, you're like, okay, crap. I have to gather. You have to go to one of the other realms because the highest thing is in the Nine Realms. The big thing about the story is there's lots of story beats, and I don't want to give away every single one. But, like, the kid finds out he's a god. there's a moment where he realizes that he's a god and everyone else is normal, and he starts like doing Kratos's worst fear, which is like, he's like, screw these people, they're just normal, like, we're gods, why do we have to like care about these people? Which, like, to some point Kratos was kind of like, Kratos thinks the gods are bad because they toy with normal people and they're selfish.
Right.
At the same time, he also doesn't want to get involved with anybody. So he was kind of being a jerk to everybody, and Atreus was always the moral compass. He was always nice to everybody, even when it didn't make sense. And he was like, we don't need to be nice to everybody. And he wasn't doing it because he was a god. He just didn't want to get involved. Well, Atreus, the moral compass of the game, suddenly becomes a giant turd because he finds out he's a god. And he's like, screw these people, dude. Like, we're gods. We could do whatever we want to. And Kratos' worst fear, the reason he was keeping the fact that his son was probably a god, was hidden from him, because he didn't want him to be like the other gods. He's like,
We're supposed to be better than this.
He's like, I want to be good.
Yes.
And like, I was trying to hide this from you or whatever. And that arc resolves itself, and the kid realizes that he was a giant poop head. And then, which is also cool, and it's handled well, I thought. And then you get to the final realm, and there's just moment after moment of like...
Are you carrying around the ashes this whole time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, it's a whole thing where like, Kratos is trying to teach his son to be good and help him or whatever. And he always asks to hold his mom's ashes. Kratos won't ever let him, and it makes him mad or whatever. And finally, when they get to the mountain and everything is resolved, he lets him carry the ashes. And so you get to the realm of the giants, and there's a tapestry on the wall, and it's Kratos. And it starts with like one side, it's like Kratos, Kratos's wife, and Atreus. She's a giant, and so Kratos is a god, and
also a giant.
No, Kratos is a god. His mom, or Kratos's wife, was a giant. What famous Norse figure is half giant and half god? Loki. So you find out that the original name for Atreus was supposed to be Loki. So he's supposed to represent Loki in this version of the Norse mythology. So like, you walk into the giant city and you see like Kratos meeting up with the mom. You see Atreus being born. You see the mom dying. You see them climbing the mountain. You see them traveling the realms. You see, so like, the mom knew everything was going to happen. She knew this entire thing was going to happen somehow.
Really?
And you're like, what the heck? I don't understand this. Like, she knew you were God. She knew that she was going to die. She knew that you were going to go on this journey. And then the sun leaves. And then you pick up the part of tapestry that was covering the last part of this mural. And it's Atreus holding dead Kratos. And you're like, huh. And then you walk forward and you spread the mom's ashes. And the game's over. And then there's the thing where Atreus has a dream that Thor comes. And he's gonna kill them all. Because I...
Was that a dream?
I can't tell. I mean, here's the problem. Over the course of the game, you are trying your very hardest to try to live your life and avoid the Norse gods. They clearly have some reason to be interfering with you.
Yes.
At some point, they attack you, and you kill the wrong person, and it starts off a god war, and so... While you're trying to avoid everything at all costs, you tick off three different gods, basically, and the second game is basically they're going to be coming at you, and you're going to have to start killing the Norse gods. So it's a really cool setup, but it also ends with a weird cliffhanger that also ends really well, and I really liked it, and I really liked the way that it handled a lot of things. There's so much going on. The game is also maybe the best instance of, is it metal? Every single freaking thing in the game, it's Norse mythology, it's Viking, it's Drugger, it's like freaking Thor and Odin, and they go to like meet Hades, what's the
I don't know,
they meet some like, oh dude, it's just so freaking metal.
You do meet Hades though.
Hades
and that I mean, you showed me that's that from, level
that wasn't Hades though, it was somebody else. Or maybe it was Hades. I don't know. There's there's so many cool things in the game, so many cool things with the story. There's a big moment when you're about to go to an ice level and you're like, I have to go get my Greek Blades of Chaos fire swords.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a whole thing. The story is very good in the game, and a lot of people want to bash it for being stereotypical. I just thought it was handled really well, and I thought it felt genuine. There's multiple instances, not just with Kratos and his son Atreus, but there's also other parentagehoods and decisions that are made. I don't know. I just thought it was handled really well. I guess if I have to pick a story, it's going to come down to God of War and Spider-Man, and talking about it like this, it's probably God of War, but also I love Spider-Man so much. It's hard for me to understand, aside from my Spider-Man love, where it falls, but it's also our list, so we can do what we want to.
Mm-hmm. Of these games, the ones that I would nominate for best story would be Spider-Man, but that's only because I haven't played God of War.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing now and what you've talked about before has made me want to play God of War, and maybe that is something I will do in 2019. But as of now, I can only speak to Marvel. I am totally okay with, based on everything that you said, giving it to God of War. But between those two, Spider-Man definitely of the ones that I've talked about and that I've played, Spider-Man's story was the best one that I've played.
We don't have to pick a winner. It's our list. We can do whatever the frick we want to. We can say best story goes to Spider-Man and God of War. And
God of War, we could totally do that.
Like, I have no problems with this. There's no qualms.
Both really good stories, and for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm totally cool with that. Cool.
So there we go. We got best mobile game, best story.
So you put this category down.
Best dumb thing that was really awesome.
Yeah. What did you have in mind when you put this one down?
So I was actually thinking about when you told me about the Far Cry 5 testy festy.
Yes, that was so good.
Since we're already talking about God of War, I'll give a moment real quick. And I don't know if it's necessarily going to win, but it is hilarious. So we may talk about in a best moment part. There's this thing called the World Serpent that exists in Norse mythology, where there's a giant serpent that's big enough to wrap around the entire world. He's a massive snake.
Yeah.
There's a moment where you summon him to talk to him because you have some questions. Mm-hmm. And this serpent, like you, hates all of the Norse gods.
Okay.
And there's a moment where you summon him to talk to you, and he comes up and he looks and he sees a statue of Thor. And he hates Thor so much that he just eats the statue. And then Atreus is like, he's eating rocks. Doesn't that hurt him? And the guy you're talking to, who's like the historian of all the lore, is just like, yeah, dude, it probably does hurt him and it's going to mess him up, but he really doesn't like Thor. And he just freaking eats the statue. And then there's a segment where there was something hidden in the statue and you have to go inside the serpent's belly to get it out. But it's so funny because he just like looks at the statue and he hates it so much that he just decides to eat rock. And I don't know if it has to win, but it was a moment where I'm like, what the heck? That's awesome.
Weird. That's funny.
All right. Go ahead.
For me, you know, Hitman is a game full of dumb, stupid moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment
some you make yourself, some are designed.
Yes, for sure. In one of the levels, you're in Miami. You can dress up as Florida Man, and you can basically serve like these cupcakes to these people that everyone's like, I don't know what's in these things, but it's so addicting. I just want to keep coming back and eating these things. And it's like heavily implied as to what you're eating.
Yeah.
And then you can poison like a CEO of a company by just putting poison inside this like weed filled drug induced cupcake.
Yeah, dude.
There's moments in that same level where you can dress up in a pink. You have to meet this chick. And so you, to kill her. And one of the stories is another dude is trying to blackmail this chick with some documents, but he got freaked out, knocked the dude out because his cover got blown, stole that dude's pink flamingo costume, and then you basically knock him out, steal that costume from that dude, then take his blackmail evidence, and like you're sitting, the story takes you to like you're sitting in this courtyard next to this hotel with a bunch of security guards, and you're just sitting there waiting in this costume, and the guys are like, so what do you do for a living? And you have like these really dumb conversations where he's like, oh, you know, I travel a lot or something like that. Like, very vague, but obviously hinting at what he actually does. It's so dumb. It's so funny. It's the game is just has all sorts of stuff like that. In the very last mission, I took out one of my targets by basically, you're one of the top billionaires who rules the world in the secret cult. Not the Far Cry 5 cult, just a different cult.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically like are part of this meeting where you take down this dude who is the CEO of a coal mining operation. He's like billionaire, super rich dude. But he and the target you're trying to do to take down is trying to convince him to go wind and green friendly. You guys have been doing a great job of covering up global warming and climate change at this point, but the world is starting to catch on. You guys need to come and change. And you're like, and this guy's like, but I'm in coal. You kidnap that dude, steal and wear his cult costume into the secret meeting where you and you're the one holdout on this plan that has to be unanimous. You go find this chick, say, hey, I'll vote for your plan. She's like, okay, cool. I knew you'd come to reason. You go to the room. You say, no, never mind. I choose not to. She's like, oh, come on. And so everyone else in the meeting is like, what the heck, dude? Like, we thought we finally figured this out because it has to be unanimous. And so she's like, come with me. We're going to talk. She takes you up into the secret room. You basically sit there and she's like, you have a small conversation. She's like, he's like, okay, explain to me why this is going to be beneficial. She's like, guys, leave the room. The security guards leave the room. In this room, there's a bunch of artifacts. She walks up. It's a spiked coffin. And she goes and stares in front of it, just looking at it. You walk behind her, push her into it while you're wearing your cult costume and slam the door on her. And you just see blood pour on the bottom. It's like, target done. You just walk away. And you're like, the game is just so full of awesome, stupid moments like that.
And this is also the game where one of the weapons is an explosive rubber duck.
Yes.
So, I mean, the game is made for this category.
It knows what it is.
Yes.
For sure. So there's tons of moments in that. it's so dumb and funny. Far Cry 5 has some moments in this too. The definitely one laugh out loud moment that just made me beam and smile was in Hope County, you start rescuing this city, this little town, and the guy's like, we need to bring up some cheer. You know, one of the things that we always do is the annual testicle festival, or as we like to call it, the testy festy.
There's definitely one of those around here.
Oh, boy.
Like I've seen signs for it. It's up towards Louisville. There's a sign for a testicle festival.
Oh, no. Okay. So, anyway. So, the quest is, you've got to go out and harvest bowl balls.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get the bowls to do specific things in order to get the balls in their prime use.
I mean, how do you make the bowls desire?
You let them out of their pen into
the lady bowl
field
pen?
With the lady bowl pen.
Okay.
And you basically stand on the outside.
Do you like knife them or something?
You watch these bowls hump. Then you go over them and then you basically kill it.
Okay.
And then you take the balls. And you have to... that's like only one of them. One of the other ones is basically you grab this tractor with like a combine blade on it and you just run over bowls. I mean,
presumably they're eating and harvest them. That's just...
Yes. Yes. But according to the guy, they never taste better than that. So then you go to the testy festy, you get drunk, and you are simulating target practicing on balloons while you get drunk, and you wake up passed out in a field.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like, all right, now you just keep playing the game. Like, the game just has dumb moments like that in it.
Sure.
That are definitely just like, oh my word, what am I playing? This is really stupid type of stuff.
Keep going.
So those are the two of the stuff on this list that I would talk about. There's, we could talk about stuff like Rec Room in VR, which has some like, could have some interesting dumb stuff in it.
I do want to say that every single time I see a Hitman 2 clip where somebody throws like one of the suitcases and then it curves around a corner to kill the guy, I always laugh because it's so dumb how it like homes in around the corner. And like, I feel like the developers probably knew that was in the game chose to keep it there. So I wanted to reference that.
But
there's, you said Super Hot or Rec Room?
Rec Room.
Rec Room's the one where you interact with other people.
Rec Room is, yeah, you go into this world and
it's, was that
it's
this year?
It's a VR game. Technically, no. It's in my list of old games.
Okay.
This is the year, our last 2018 was the year I got a VR headset, an yep. Oculus Rift. So I kind of, that was my first intro into like VR stuff.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of stuff and we'll talk about that probably in other categories. But a Rec Room, that's a kind of a room for like dumb stuff. It's like, oh, this is real stupid, or mm-hmm. Here I'm throwing just basketballs in a VR room or whatever like that. So of the two stuff, Far Cry 5, the test fest is real good. Hitman 2, though, is just full of just dumb stuff like that. Like, that game, that game's whole MO, like, it's got a fun story, but that's MO is just dumb, stupid stuff that is real fun. So that's probably the one I would nominate.
Okay.
If we were to pick one, but it's...
You said Hitman?
I would probably say Hitman. That's just everything that game is.
Do you have to pick a... Because it says best dumb thing, though. Which
game or thing?
Okay, so we'll pick Hitman 2.
If we want to do a dumb thing, if you want to choose individual moments, like I named two things out of Hitman, there's a ton more in there. There's one where you have
to become a flamingo and fly away.
There, I haven't done that yet, but yes, totally. There's one where you have to kill a bodyguard for a dude, and you go to him and you poison him at a barbecue in the neighborhood. He goes to the bathroom to puke, and you drown him in his puke.
Oh, why can't you just poison him?
Oh, it's right. It's his natural reaction.
Sure.
There's Damn Man 2. You know what? I wish I could just play it. Maybe I need to show you that game. It's just special.
Sure.
There's some real fun stuff in that game.
So we'll give best dumb thing that was really awesome to Hitman 2. Just the game.
The game. Like, and that's not even a down thing on the game. Like, I'm not calling Hitman 2 dumb. In that way, like, it's a fun game.
We are on the website whackmatters.com. We can acknowledge that things are both dumb and awesome. We talked about John Wick, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm pretty sure. Oh, that game's so... Anyway, so.
I recommend that we use this opportunity to take a small break, because I want to stop these recordings and make sure they save, and so we don't lose everything in one go.
Sounds good.